Nice to see you. As usual, I'm going to speak in English. I'm sorry. But as usual, I'll start with a joke. Okay? You ready?
Yes.
There was a preacher, who trained his horse to go when he said, "Praise the Lord." And he trained his horse to stop when he said, "Amen." Okay? So one day the preacher got on his horse and he said, "Praise the Lord." And the horse started to go, started to ride. And when he wanted to stop for lunch, he said, "Amen." And the horse stopped. After lunch, he got back on the horse. He said, "Praise the Lord." And the horse started to go. But this time the horse was going towards the edge of a cliff. The preacher started to panic. He was like, "Oh no, what's the word? What do I say?" And he says, whoa, but this didn't work. And then he remembered and he said, "Amen." And the horse stopped just in time, just there. He looks up to heaven and the preacher says, "Praise the Lord." Oh, dear. Oh, today we're going to talk about Jehovah Rapha from Exodus. We've heard about Jehovah Nisi from Robert. He preached on that. God, the Lord, our banner. Today we're going to speak about Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals, the Lord who heals us. And the word Exodus is a word that's made of two words. The word Exodus means the way out. And this is what the Israelites were looking for most of their life. They were looking for a way out. And all of the book of Exodus talks about their journey as a way out with God's help. They have a lot of setbacks. They have a lot of problems. They have a lot of interesting stories to tell us through the book of Exodus. You read it sometime. It's really interesting. God is always trying to teach us something. We are continually being transformed by God from glory to glory, the word says. But we are never finished. As long as we live on this earth, we'll never be finished. He's always got more of himself to show us, to teach us. So he wants to show us who we are in him, and he wants to show us who he is. Exodus is a story about redemption. It's a story about how God redeems his people from slavery, how he takes them out. The whole Bible actually is a story about redemption. It's about how God redeems us from the curse of sin, from the slavery of sin. But God brings them out of slavery. He brings them into something better. He doesn't just bring them out, but he brings them into something. And it's the same with us. God is always trying to bring us into something new, into something more of himself, into something better. There's always something to be learned along the way. So this part of Exodus is where we learn about Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. God has given us his personal names. We all might have a nickname. My father calls me Vanny. You know, God has given us his personal name for every situation. And this one, Jehovah Rapha, is for when we need healing. But it means more than just to heal. The word Rapha, it means to restore. It means to mend. You know, Jehovah Rapha can mean the Lord who restores us. It can mean the Lord who fixes broken things. So although we know we've read many stories about God who heals our bodies and Jesus who healed the sick, this Jehovah Rapha is talking about the Lord who restores and heals our hearts, who heals our broken insides. He's given us his names to describe a portion of his character. And some of his names are here. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. This is just a few of the names. You can go home and look up the others, but there's a name for every situation in our lives. You know, there's a name for when we need provision for something. We call on the Lord who provides. We call his name, Jehovah Jireh, I need you to provide for me. You know, or when we need a covering, we say, Jehovah Nissi, we need you as a banner over us. Or when we just need peace in our lives, Jehovah Shalom, call his name. Exodus 15 is where we hear this name the first time, the Lord who heals. And the chapter starts with a story about water. In the middle of the chapter, there's a story about water. And at the end of the chapter, there's a story about water. So we have to say, you know, God, what are you trying to teach us? What were you trying to teach the Israelites at this time? But at the very beginning of this chapter, it starts with a victory song. Moses had written down the song, and the words start like this. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. This, I think, is our first lesson. The first thing we should learn is when God has triumphed in your life, sing. Sing to him. He created us to worship. So sing. Sing to him. The Message Bible says, I am singing my heart out to God. Wow. What a victory, it says. He pitched horse and rider into the sea. God is my strength. God is my song. And yes, God is my salvation. What a song. Wow. I mean, have you ever sung your heart out to God? We sang such a presence of God here, you know, but it was calm. Have you ever been at home and sang your heart out to God and really just like given it your all, hit some really bum notes, you know, and just you know, glad that you're alone. But, you know, this is what the Lord wants. He wants us to be worshippers. He wants us to sing our hearts out. It's not just when things are going wrong that we should turn to God and call on him or lift up our voice to him, but when things are going right, we should turn to him and give him our praise. Good. It should be really easy for us to worship, but sometimes it's easier for us to complain. Complaints, they come off the tongue very easily in situations, but it should be our worship that comes out easily, you know. In Psalms 34, 35, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, continually does not mean now and then or Sundays or Wednesday Connect Group. Continually means always. His praise should always be in our mouth. So then that means that when we're having a bad day, we should still have praise in our mouth. When we're having a good day, we should still have praise in our mouth. Yeah. Right? The scripture says all of that, all times. So in the beginning of Exodus, Moses sings this song to the Lord. He sings this song for 19 verses. 19 verses of this song. I mean, can you imagine? Yeah. That is a lot of singing. You know, and then after he's finished singing, his sister comes up and she, with her girl band, they do some singing and dancing. So these guys are happy. These guys have had a good victory. You know, we're wondering now, what is this victory? But let's look at the passage. In the whole of Exodus, up to this point, it tells us of the life of the Israelites in Egypt. It tells us of their struggles with Pharaoh, of how the Israelites had to serve the Egyptians. Exodus to this point tells us of the birth of Moses and how he miraculously survived when all the boys in his town in Egypt at that time were being killed. It tells about how Moses miraculously was taken into the house of Pharaoh and how his own mother, an Israelite, was brought into the palace to take care of him. What a miracle. Wow. It tells how Moses grew up to be the person that God would use to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And it tells how God used miracle after miracle to prove to Pharaoh that he was God and that these were his people. And then it tells us about Pharaoh actually letting these Egyptians go. The miracle of the Red Sea. And this is where we come to Moses' song. After all this, 14 chapters of God at work. In real life, it was 49 years. But at the end of that, this is where Moses sings his song. We can read that chapter, some of that chapter together, Exodus 15, verse 22. It says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah. It means bitter water. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' And Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it in the water, and the water became fit to drink." Another miracle. But firstly, I want to just say, it took them just 3 days before they started to complain. 3 days. You know, 3 days ago, they'd just seen this mighty miracle. They'd just seen the Red Sea open and they could walk through. 3 days ago, they were in slavery for 49 years and they'd been set free. 3 days ago, they were having a party and singing songs with 19 verses. How quickly they forgot. In just 3 days, they're complaining, "What shall we drink?" I mean, okay, I get it. I get it. Research says that you can live without food for 10 days, right? But you can't live without water for more than 3 days. So these guys, they're on the edge. They traveled 3 days, they found no water. It's getting desperate. Times are hard. So this is where they start complaining. So they come to this stream in Marah and they find water and they celebrate, woohoo! And then they taste it and it doesn't taste good. They can't drink it. What shall we do? I get it. I get all of that. I'm sure I would be complaining also. But what I don't get is who they complain to. After seeing God do so many miraculous things, they run instead to Moses and say, "What shall we drink?" You know, instead of saying, "God, we've seen you do great things just 3 days ago. We've seen you do mighty miracles. Do something now." Instead of doing that, they complain to each other. They complain to Moses. You know, have they already forgotten the song? Have they already forgotten this glorious God they were singing about? You know? So, I mean, I think we've all been here that we've seen God do things in our lives and then we quickly forget when something else comes up. We quickly forget to give him thanks or to ask him to help us in our situation. We quickly go from praising into disappointment and complaining. We quickly complain to our friends or our family or our neighbors or our leaders. I get it. It's understandable. But, you know, we believe that God only leads us into good things, but sometimes he'll test us through our circumstance. In this instance, he led them. It says, the passage said that God led Moses to the bitter water. Why? Because he knew it would only take them 3 days to forget the goodness of God. He knew it would only take them 3 days to be blaming him and to be disappointed. God was waiting to see how they would react. He was waiting to see what their heart was like, what the attitude of their heart was. You know, we need healing on the outside, but we need healing on the inside too. God leads us sometimes into hard situations to test us and refine us, to help us to come to him and say, you know, my heart is not right. God knew that their greatest need was not water. He knew that their greatest need was a redemption, wow, revival in their hearts. Yeah. Do we grow bitter when God's timing doesn't match our timing? Do we complain when we don't get things instantly or when we want to get things? You know, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, he longs to heal us from these things, from bitterness, from pride. He wants us to trust him and walk in obedience. So we can ask him to cleanse our hearts, to keep our hearts clean from bitterness. When you pray the names of God, you're praying God's character over the situation. When you understand the meaning of the specific name of God, you can pray it, you can declare it over your situation. It should build our faith to know that we have a God who cares about us specifically in what we're going through. Declaring God's character and proclaiming his healing power that he can work in us and through us. A.W. Pink was a Bible teacher. He was born in the 1800s. And he wrote this: we need to realize that in every circumstance and every situation where faith is tested, the Lord himself has allowed you to be there. He's brought you there. And if we believe this, then it's not so difficult for us to trust him while we remain there. If we believe that my faith is being tested, but God is with me, then it's not so hard for us to stay there. God sometimes, he leads us into difficult situations because he wants to give us a makeover. He wants to give us a checkup. He wants to test our memory. You know, God says, do you remember? Do you remember what I've done? How's your memory? You know, he wants to test our eyesight. You know, he's going to give us a full makeover. He says, what do you see? What are you looking at? Is your reality my reality? What do you see? You know, and he wants to test our hearts because he says, out of your heart, that's what your mouth is saying. Out of your heart, the mouth is speaking. What are you saying? Are you complaining or are you praising? Verse 24 says, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? So they're already whining and grumbling. But you know what? God, he can handle our whining and grumbling, actually. Yeah. You know, he doesn't fall over. He doesn't, like, go and hide and cry. He can handle it when we whine, when we grumble, when we're honest with him. We have to be ourselves. He knows us anyway, inside and out. Right. So be yourself. Be honest, you know. He wants to hear. He wants you to talk with him. He wants relationship. And nothing is too big. Nothing is too small. So come to him and tell him what's on your heart. Good. Don't hide your feelings from God. Most of the Psalms that David wrote, they tell about his struggle backwards and forwards. And it, you know, you can read it on your own time, but it can get a bit tiring. We don't actually take it in sometimes to hear, because he's always backwards and forwards like this. He's praising God, and then he's down in the dumps, and then he's praising God, and then he's hiding out, and then he's praising God. But, you know, he has something that we need. And in Psalms 22, he writes this. An evil gang is around me. Like a pack of dogs, they close in on me. They tear at my hands and my feet. All my bones can be seen. My enemies look at me and stare. They gamble for my clothes and divide them amongst themselves. Oh, Lord, don't stay away from me. Come quickly to my rescue. Save me from the sword. Save me from these dogs. Rescue me from these lions. I am helpless before the wild bulls. Wow. Then he says, but I will tell my people what you have done. I will praise you in their assembly. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, Honor him, you descendants of Jacob. Worship him, you people of Israel. Even though we may not see a way out from our circumstances, he wants to know that we know he has a way out. He wants us to lift up his name no matter what. Okay, I'm going to embarrass my boys and show you a picture of Isaac when he was a baby. Yeah, it's cute. When I was pregnant with Isaac, we went to the hospital for a routine checkup. And they scanned everything and they said, "I'm sorry, we have some bad news for you." They said, "Your son, he has club foot." There's a picture of, yes, club foot in both feet. Club foot is a birth defect. Club foot affects about 1 in 1,000 babies. So that was a very slim chance. And about half of these babies have it in both feet. And they said, if you have already a child with club foot, having another one is also a slim chance, 1 in 25. So we were like, okay. They said, very rare. We don't know why it happened. It just happens. And then they say, do you want to keep him? We were sad, but we kept moving forward. At the time, we were blessed to live in England. We were blessed that we had a hospital who had a department that takes care of club foot. We were blessed to have doctors and the hospital, and they gave him operations, and they worked on his feet for a couple of years to straighten them out. At 2 years old, Isaac could walk normally, finally. We thank God for this situation, and we moved on. 6 years later, here's Josiah. We were pregnant with Josiah, and we went for the usual checkups. And remember that 1 in 25 chance? Well, they tell us Josiah has club foot. Of course, we're stunned, we're shocked, we're sad. But this time, we're different. Because we remember, we came through it with God's help. We remember what the past has showed us, that we can make it. There is a way out. Yeah. There is a way through. We have hope. We have Isaac, and Isaac is running around. We're no longer depressed or down. We have a way through, a way out. So we just trusted the goodness of God, giving God glory for every chance. Again, lots of hospitals and operations and doctors, but as you can see, Josiah is now running around. What a miracle. We give God the glory, honestly, we do. So I wrote a song with 19 verses, and we're going to sing it.
I don't think so.
But let me tell you this scripture again. Verse 22, I will tell my people, I will tell you what God has done. I will praise him in your assembly. I will praise him, you servants of the Lord. Honor him, you descendants of Jacob. Worship him, you people of Israel. The Israelites should have turned to God and not to Moses. God was their deliverer. God was their way out, and it was a simple way out. God had delivered them from Egypt, and he could do it again. You know? God brings us out of something because he wants us to worship him. Exodus 15 continues, so Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, simple piece of wood. Moses picked it up and he threw it in the water, and the water was good to drink. It was there at Mara that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to my voice, to the voice of the Lord, and do what is right in my sight, obeying my commands and keeping my decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Let's just understand that God doesn't make us suffer. He doesn't put any sickness on us, but he allows us to walk through hard times, hardships, hard things. You know, he gave us one of his names so that we can remember this situation. He tests us so that we can learn from past experiences and that we can grow spiritually into maturity. He says, if we listen, this applies today, listen to the voice of God. If we obey his commands, that applies today. If we obey, then he can heal us. Then he can heal us inside and outside. Don't be like those Israelites. Don't be like those Israelites. They soon forgot 3 days it took to forget all that God had done. But remember that God is looking at our hearts. Don't be a complainer. Even when you're right in the middle of a hard situation, don't complain your way through. Praise your way through instead. Be like David and tell all how good God is. He's a good God in spite of what's going on. At the Bitter River, God decided, he promised to bring healing and restoration to his people if they would be faithful to him. And that promise is repeated in the Old Testament. But I want to just say to you to use these names of God in your situation, you know. Use God, you are my banner. Look them up and use them. So God's healing touch. We may have come expecting to hear about Jesus healing the sick, but our God is more of a physical healer. He's more than just that. He heals our insides. He heals us spiritually, and he heals us emotionally too. Jehovah Rapha cares about you 100%, your inside, your outside, all of you. So don't leave him out. Include him in everything. And when he does good things in your life, don't forget to praise God for it. Amen.